We've just published the book, The Adventures of Lola Badiola. It's the perfect complement for this podcast. It includes complete transcripts, explanations, and quizzes. So buy it now on Amazon. Hello and welcome back to The Adventures of Lola Badiola. It is great to have you back with us after such a long time. And I apologize for the amount of time between this podcast and the last podcast. And that's because that we were preparing and publishing the book, which is now available. But today's podcast, as promised, is going to focus on the making of The Adventures of Lola Badiola. Where did the idea come from? How was the idea developed? And where is it going in the future? And for this very special podcast, I have a very special guest. It is my partner at home and my partner in business. It is Marina Solana Gaveiras. How are you?
Hi, Sam. Thank you for your introduction. Partner here.
I've been practicing it in order to get it right, because this is the first time I've had a guest on the podcast.
Well, it's my first time as a podcaster too, so it's very exciting.
Yes, it is. So we're going to see how this goes. Now, I think a great place to start is the beginning.
Absolutely.
Right? So the question is, when and how was Lola Badiola conceived? What was the moment where it all started?
Well, in my mind, the first moment was when we started teaching English, and we were both going to companies to teach. And we were really unhappy with the materials that we found out there. They were really boring and stale. And I remember one lesson in Past Simple where you wrote two chapters of a story. And for me, the experience was I started teaching it to my students, and they were all over the place. They just wanted more.
Yeah.
They were asking me, when is the next chapter? And I remember going back to the next class, and it was like, where's my chapter of today?
Yes.
So that's when we started thinking, well, maybe this is an interesting way of doing writing exercises, is to have a story.
Business books, particularly business grammar books, are boring.
Yeah.
And the kind of content that they provide is quite dry. It's not very relevant. It's actually difficult to read and get hooked on.
Mm.
So what we found when we got the response from people who were reading the story, they thought it was great and they wanted to have the next chapter. We thought, okay, fantastic. This is what we have to do. We have to write the chapter of an interesting story per week and then integrate the learning points, like the grammar and the vocabulary, into the story.
Yes.
So that was the idea.
That was funny sometimes.
And little did we know how much work that would be.
Yes. You know? Oh my God.
Once we started, we couldn't stop, because our clients, our students, were expecting a chapter of the story every week in order to see how the learning points were used in context. So it was a great idea, but it took quite a lot of work.
It took a lot of work, and more than anything, I think it was great to have the discipline of weekly production, because that made us write it in short time, more or less. But at the same time, we didn't know what we were getting into.
We didn't know what we were getting into in terms of editing
and producing and recording.
Little did we know.
And re-editing. And
yes. Okay, well, look, that's a little bit further down
yes,
the line.
Yes.
Right, so we're still talking about here the origin of Lola Badiola. So we started off writing it for the people who were signed up to our online business English platform. And what would happen is every week they would read it for homework. And at the end of our class, we'd have a little bit of a discussion. And it was a good learning device for them. But it was also a good learning device for us, because
Absolutely.
We saw the things that they were interested in. We saw the characters that they liked. And at times, they helped us avoid taking the characters down the wrong direction, right?
It's a couple of times, yes.
So a couple of times we wrote a chapter and the answer was like, no, this is not right.
This is not
what the character would do. So it was very useful to get their feedback on a weekly basis. And it was very useful to have the discipline of having to write something. So that's the origin. And I guess the next question is, where does the name Lola Badiola come from?
Yes, that's a very, very good question.
Okay, well, let's talk about the surname first.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a friend, one of Marina's childhood friends, one of my good friends as well, who lives up in the north of Spain, in Cantabria. And his name is Carmelo Badiola.
Yes.
And for me, as a like a non-native Spanish speaker, I think the name Badiola is incredibly cool. I just think it sounds great, yeah. Right? It starts off with bad, which in itself is a cool word, like, you know, Michael Jackson's Bad album and his songs. And then at the end, you have Iola, which is sort of quite poetic and melodic. So the name just sounds great, Badiola. So I thought, okay, the character has to have the name Badiola. And then the first name, well, we came up with the name.
Yes, it changed.
Yeah,
that was a difficult one because for months we were all calling it by its old name.
Yes. So originally she was Anna Badiola. Mm-hmm. And the reason she was Anna Badiola was because I thought she's got an unusual surname. So let's give her a really common, ordinary,
short
first name. So that's why she was Anna Badiola. And so for the first couple of months, when we were writing each chapter and interacting with the students on our online platform, we were all talking about Anna Badiola.
Yes.
And then one day I received a link from one of those students. And on that link, it said, have a look at this, Sam. Did you realize that Anna Badiola actually exists? And Anna Badiola happens to be some kind of executive
coach.
Not
exists. Of course, you know, there's going to be a lot of Badiolas in the world. I think it was basically that she had the name AnnaBadiola.com. And so, obviously, you know, if we wanted to launch a page or if we wanted, I mean, we're using a name that someone else is using commercially. She's a coach.
She's an executive coach. Well, that's her name, right?
So yeah, exactly. But her business is AnnaBadiola.com.
Yeah.
So it would kind of like, you know, maybe cause some confusion. And this is why we thought, well, we better have a name that actually, you know, like it's not someone obviously out there.
Yes. The other coincidence was because I went onto her website, and on her website it says something like, join me on the adventure
of life
of
executive, like,
but she used the word adventure as well, so we thought, oh my goodness, this is such a coincidence, we need to do something. So we then for about another week or so discussed various options for different names. And I don't know where Lola came from, but
Lola kept coming.
It just kept popping up, didn't it?
It kept coming, but you were scared because of Lolita or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, no, I tell you why I was scared. Because there is a famous song by...
Oh, yeah.
There's a famous song from the 1960s. I've forgotten that. Oh, the Kinks, I think the name of the band is. And the main character of the song is Lola. And she's a transvestite.
Oh,
right?
La 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 la
la la la la la.
Yes, I know that song. I love it.
La la la.
That was it.
Okay, so I was a little bit worried about the connection there. But anyway, it's an old song. Most people don't really remember it. And anyway, Lola is a beautiful name.
Yes, it is.
It's an absolutely lovely name.
And it sounds perfect.
And it sounds perfect for this particular character, right? It makes total sense. So she became Lola Badiola. And for about the next 6 months, it took us a lot of effort in order to remember it was Lola Badiola rather than Anna Badiola. Mm-hmm. But certainly in my mind, well, now and for the last few years, she's
absolutely
been Lola Badiola.
No, it's very clear.
So that's the origin of the story, and that's the origin of the name. The actual character herself, the question is, where does she come from? Why is it a woman? And what is the inspiration for this character? Which is...
Well, the kids always tell you that you're very much in touch with your feminine side.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for announcing that to all the podcast listeners.
Yes, and yeah.
No, but this... Okay, this is not the reason. It's not the reason... Okay, look. The reason she's a woman is because it's more difficult for women, right? In the business world in general, it's more difficult, it's more challenging. And in the world of technology, more challenging still. Right?
Yes,
the world of technology is completely dominated by men, for whatever reason that might be. Like we could have a debate about gender issues and education and expectations. But the fact is, in the world of business and specifically in the world of technology, it's completely dominated by men, most of whom are engineers or scientists. So if you put a woman amongst that, it creates tension, it creates conflict, and it's more of a challenge. So she becomes like a fish out of water, which makes her an interesting character. So that's why it's a woman. That's the rational reason, okay? So maybe there's something in what you say as well. But the fact is, she's a mix.
It's not an insult, you know. It's a good thing.
I know.
It's a really, really good thing.
I accept my feminine side. They say that I'm a man written by a woman. That's what they're...
Yes, that's what they say.
That's what they say about me. Anyway, so this is a woman written by a man, right? Who's written by a woman.
Yes. Who's what? A woman who writes up as a man as well.
Yeah. So, and she's clearly got influences from lots of different people.
Yes, but I think that's what makes her so relatable, both to men and women. Because it's a character that, you know, like has a gender, but it is facing... like the reality that is for all of us, right? I mean, things are more and more equal in that sense, the way we feel at work and the pressures and challenges that we have to live.
That's right. Yes. Okay, so we have the story of Lola Badiola. And to be honest, I would sit down and start writing and I would have absolutely no idea where the story was going. Right? You know how you hear about how novelists plan out the story and the characters and the outline and everything like that.
This was not the case.
This was absolutely not the case.
It was gin and tonic, although we never drink gin and tonic.
Vodka tonic.
Vodka tonic moments where we were, you know, maybe not knowing where it was going. And suddenly it just came to us,
yes,
didn't it? And it was beautiful. And it was so exciting. We spent hours talking about it.
That's probably the most pleasurable part of the whole process was when you have an idea and you think, yes, that works for this character or this particular plot line. Mm. So we had no idea where the story was going. And we got to chapter 7 or 8. And it's like, oh, okay, so now we need to have like more of an antagonist. So we've got our protagonist. She's got a problem at work. But we need to have another antagonist. We need to have the other side of the story. And so how can we make the whole story much richer and much more diverse? Okay, we've got to find ourselves a hacker. We've got to find ourselves a cybersecurity terrorist who's basically the yin to Lola's yang, right? And so I started looking around. I started doing some research on hackers.
I was going to ask you about that. How on earth did you end up in North Korea?
North Korea. Yeah, well, it's just interesting, isn't it? North Korea
is very interesting, but it is wacky.
It's wacky, and that's what makes it compelling. That's what makes it a story.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
So we have a very advanced capitalist economy in Madrid, in Western Europe. So let's go to the opposite. Let's go to a very closed, kind of communist, authoritarian country, which... as a matter of fact, has literally thousands of state-sponsored hackers, people who work for the government who are doing the hacking. And in fact, some of the most recent hacks, like ransomware hacks, have been done by the Korean government. So I started reading about this, and I started reading about one character in particular whose name or surname happened to be Park. And he was the genius that was behind some of the biggest hacks in the world that cost... governments and companies tons of money. So I thought, okay, he's going to be the other side of the story. So I built the North Korean part of the story around this character. And I felt comfortable doing that because my best friend at school was from South Korea. Okay, very different South Korea to North Korea in economic terms, but they all come from the same origin, right? They're part of the same tribe. And I spent some time working in South Korea. So I know a little bit about, you know, the customs and the culture. And that's why I felt comfortable actually writing about somebody in that space, although clearly I had to do a lot of research.
And actually not easy research because it's, we don't know much. To find out information, it's not easy. I've done it myself sometimes, and it's amazing the limited information that is out there about North Korea.
That's right. That's right. But then that also gives you a blank canvas because you can imagine
of course,
right? So it helps on the other side. So there we by chapter 9, we had these two stories. So we had the story of Lola Badiola in Madrid, and we've had the story of Park Jae-bong in North Korea. And then it was really just a matter of, like, letting the stories develop with the idea of these two stories coming together in the end. And it was quite magical, wasn't it? Because it just happened, right? That the characters, and I know this might sound weird and maybe even a bit of a cliche, but actually the characters did start writing themselves. So if you've ever thought about writing a book, I'm sure many of you have got books in you, right? It is a matter of just getting a
first page written,
blank piece of paper, and disciplining yourself to write on a regular basis. And after a while, your story gains its own momentum. And the characters start speaking to you, and they become part of your life. And they start telling you where they need to go. So you feel like, oh, it's kind of like almost this magical way that you reach a conclusion or a resolution, certain semi-resolution to the story. But it happens quite naturally. It happens in your subconscious. It happens when you're sleeping. And then when you get out a piece of paper and you start writing, you're thinking, where is this coming from? This is so enjoyable. Okay, that is the good side of it, right? It's not always like that.
I know.
Because there's the difficult side of it.
And there were chapters that had to be rewritten completely.
Totally. Yeah, there were chapters that got scrapped, chapters that were rewritten, chapters that took, like, hours and hours and days and days. But on the whole, once the characters were created and I knew the end point, it was quite a natural progression.
Yes, in fact, the last few chapters, you did them over the summer. In a few weeks.
Yes.
Immersed, we couldn't get you out of your computer.
I think what happens is when you're writing a story or doing something creative that takes time, you spend a lot of time in your head, right?
Yes, you do. Yes, Sam, you do.
So could you give some examples then of when I was in my head? Like, kind of, it was quite funny. I sometimes drop the kids off at school and I'm driving the car and I'm thinking about the chapter that I'm writing. And they're like, I'm actually mouthing the dialogue. My mouth is moving.
I know. I've seen you walking in the garden and, like, talking to your audience in a speech.
Yes, I'm speaking. I'm talking it through because I'm actually in the story. And as it's dangerous sometimes to do that.
Well.
Because you end up very much in your own little head. So
we're here to bring you back. Don't worry.
Yes, exactly. And you do a fine job of that, all of you.
So, what else? What's the future? What's going to happen next?
Well, we have a lot.
Because there were a lot of things that ended in a non-conclusive way. For example, the visit of Guzmán Zunzunegui, we never knew what happens. Lola finishes saying, I'm going to talk to my mother. I won't hear that conversation. So what's happening? Tell us.
Well, I'm not going to tell you too much.
No. Without any spoilers, please.
Okay. Well, stop me if I'm about to spoil something.
I will.
I mean, the first thing to say is that the outline of the next story is already written.
And so, it is full of exciting surprises, I know.
Yes. So the outline has already been written for the second story. And I think, as I mentioned in the previous podcast, we see this as a trilogy. So there's going to be a lot of loose ends that are tied up at the end of the second story, but more questions posed at the end of the story that get answered at the end of the third book. But let's talk about the second book.
Yes.
So we have the outline, but it is going to take some time to write the chapters and then get them recorded and then create the classes. Because if you remember, it's not me actually telling the story in the podcast.
Yeah.
It's a guy called David Monteith, who is a really wonderful narrator and an actor. It took us a long time to find somebody, didn't we? We tried.
Took a long time,
We listened to a lot of different voices. And then I went on to Audible and I started listening to different narrators of stories. And I found this guy and I loved his voice. I thought, okay, that's the voice we need. So I just sent him a direct email saying, would you be interested in helping us on this? He said, sure, no problem. I've got a gap in my schedule here. Send me over the script. And then a month later, we had all the recordings sent back to us, and we were super happy with it. He did a really good job.
The music as well.
So and then I have a friend who I was at film school with. He was focusing on film score music, and I went to him and I said, "Look, this is the story. Could you create a little bit of original music for this?" And he came back with something that I think is completely atmospheric and
beautiful.
Really sets the tone and creates the ambience that we were looking for. Mm-hmm. We hope that you like that too. We hope you like the voice of David Monteith and the great work of Daniel Markovich, who is the guy who created the music. And, you know, when we come to record the next podcast, clearly we're going to go back to those guys, right?
Yes, hopefully.
For continuity.
Hopefully they're still available.
Hopefully they're going to be available for us. So it will be some time before we're able to to produce the next podcast.
But we do have other news that are coming, right? So that everybody's not kind of like going, oh,
yes,
how long do I have to wait for the next chapter?
Exactly.
It will come, it will take time, but we have some news. We are going to start a podcast together. I am personally a little bit nervous about it because it's not something I do daily or weekly like Sam does. He's an expert. But I'm excited about the challenge. And I think, we can kind of help people with our business English skills. We can have interesting discussions as well. And, it's a podcast that is going to happen weekly. What is the name, Sam?
Well, we've had a lot of debate about the name, and we've concluded that the best name is Tea Time with Sam and Marina.
Yes, and you see, this is why Sam has to say it, because it's Tea Time.
Yes, Tea Time. So basically, Tea Time with Sam and Marina is me, a native English speaker, Marina, a non-native English speaker, and we're going to talk about all the challenges that we have communicating with each other at a linguistic level.
We have a few.
At a cultural level. At a
marital level. No, those we will try to keep them to ourselves.
Yes, we will. We'll try to. But you might sense tension and conflict
in
certain moments.
From time to time, yes.
So that is the idea. It is to help you improve your communication skills as either native or non-native speakers in international communication. So there will be elements of advanced business English. There'll be elements of public speaking and general communication. There'll be elements of cross-cultural communication, the kind of misunderstandings that people have when they come from different cultures. And also there'll be randomness as well.
It's a little randomness, that's what happens with us.
We will be going off on tangents.
Yeah.
I'll be going off on a more scientific tangent, and Marina will probably be going off on a more of a spiritual tangent. So we have these kind of different perspectives that I think might provide for interesting conversations. But as you know, our motto is education, entertainment, and motivation. Mm-hmm. So if we can help you on the one hand with the technical skills, but also make you feel better about yourself, then I think that will be very helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see where this takes us. This is a new avenue.
That is the idea. So we're going to have a weekly podcast, Tea Time with Sam and Marina. It's going to be available on Spotify, Apple, everywhere. And that will keep you going until we start the next round or the next book of The Adventures of Lola Badiola.
And on that note, well, it's been excellent to do my first podcast with you, Sam. Thank
you
for inviting me.
You're really taking over, aren't you?
I am.
Is it okay? That's it?
Yes, we're going to have like this kind of thing, right? Where you start interviewing me and then I end up interviewing you.
Yes,
that's
totally
how we operate.
That's how we're going to operate. And we also maybe take the risk of actually filming it as well. So it might be on YouTube too.
And we're going to film it.
We're going to film it.
Are
you? Yeah, you're confident about that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
I think we should try and get it done by next week.
Okay. Okay, now that I've done my first one, I've had my baptism of fire.
Your baptism of fire. Now, that is
go.
An excellent
experience.
Let's
Lola
discuss baptism of fire.
That one is in the book.
That's the kind of thing that we're going to do when those expressions come up. Baptism of fire.
Yes.
What does it mean? What's its origin? How do you use it?
Mm.
Okay, that's the kind of thing that we're going to discuss
kind of
in our
And expressions
upcoming
come
podcast.
Out of our own conversation. So we'll have some fun analyzing some interesting little gems.
So there you go. Join us for Tea Time with Sam and Marina.
Take care, everybody. Have a really, really good time. And we'll see you soon.
And keep bringing English into your life.
Keep bringing English into your life.